All right, Doug, can you help me tonight? Pray for Doug also. He's had some health issues recently, and he's doing better, but they're not all cleared up, so pray that they can find answers for him. We started James 3 last week, so everybody already has it, but you need this one, all right, because the one you got, that's outdated. That's from last week. I say that, you'll see what I mean. Go ahead and grab the new one too, because there's been additions made to it. Thank you, prayer also, I didn't mention, but our missionary letters are out in the lobby that we get every week. One is from Brother Canavan in India, and he mentions having traveled to a church to go preach. And that area, in that area he went to preach, those Christians there have recently faced persecution because of their faith in Christ. India, of course, is it's not Buddha, is it? Buddhist? Hindu, thank you. A Hindu country. Basically a Hindu country, and Christianity is frowned upon. So pray for the believers in India. I want to get with Brother Wisdom Nayak tomorrow. I go down to Marietta to teach in the college, and Wisdom is from India. And see if he knows Brother Canavan at all. See if they've ever crossed paths back in his home country. So pray for them. All right. I guess I better put my wire on here. James chapter 3. Again, we've already covered the first 12 verses of James chapter 3. But in the outline I gave last week, which I had done a while ago, I decided to add some more, so you've got a new one tonight. James chapter 3, right after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. James chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse number 13 and read down through verse 18. Really a short section of Scripture, and yet a very exhaustive portion. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Here in James chapter 3, James addresses two different issues. We looked at the first one in the first 12 verses, and that was the matter of words. And in those 12 verses, he talked about our tongue and our inability to control it. And surely every one of us can say amen to that. To one degree or another, we have a problem with our tongue. Saying things that we don't need to say. Saying things that are not good to say. Saying things that are not necessary, whatever it might be, we have a problem with our words. Well, then he goes in verse number 13, and now we see the matter of wisdom. He moves on to a second subject, the matter of wisdom. Solomon told us in Proverbs, if any of you lack wisdom, or no, that's James. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. James is returning to the subject of wisdom that he's already addressed briefly back in chapter 1 and verse 5. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. The Bible tells us that you and I, as God's children, should be asking him for wisdom. Do you? Do you ask God for wisdom? Now, we do when we have a major decision to make, but little decisions are of more importance than big decisions, because the little decisions add up to big impact in our life. So we need daily, we need wisdom. Wisdom for every step we take, wisdom for everything that we say, wisdom in every place that we go. We definitely need wisdom. There are three types of wisdom that James is going to address here in chapter 3. Now notice again that emphasis on wisdom. It says in verse 13, who is a wise man. Now again, I remind you, when it says wise man, man is just mankind, so it's referring to both male and female. But who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation, his words with meekness and wisdom. Verse 15, this wisdom. Verse 17, but the wisdom. That's the subject of these verses from verse 13 to verse 18. Do you have wisdom? Are you praying for wisdom? Are you seeking wisdom? Wisdom will keep us out of a lot of trouble. Wisdom enables us to make right decisions. You made a right decision by coming to church tonight. You'll make right decisions tomorrow by the places you go and the places you don't go. Those are important. A lot of people get in trouble because of the places they go that they should not go. Folks get in trouble for not going to the place that they should go. So we need wisdom, and James talks about it. I keep saying Solomon because Proverbs and James are so connected in practical, everyday living. So you know who I'm talking about when I say it. If I say Solomon, I still mean James. Alright, so keep that straight. The matter of wisdom. Three kinds of wisdom. First of all, in verse 13 in our outline, letter A, the fruit of humble wisdom. There are those that have wisdom that are not humble. They're proud. They're arrogant. They're very wise. They make right decisions, but they're not humble. And James begins with this in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge? Many are endued with knowledge. They have wisdom, but they don't have the three things that James mentions here in verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation. Now he just spoke in the first 12 verses about our words. We show wisdom, if we have it, by the words that we speak. You ever said something and said, well, that wasn't very smart. That wasn't very wise. We show wisdom by the things that we say. But the word conversation in verse number 13, and we covered that word back Sunday evening, I think it was. Turn just a page or two if you're there. 1 Peter chapter 1 should be just a page over for you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Do you remember what we said Sunday night? The word conversation in our Bible, that word has changed meaning just a little bit. It doesn't just mean the words of our mouth. It means the words of our life. Our talk as well as our walk. Your conversation is not just what you say, it's what you are. Your conversation is who you are. And the Bible says that the right kind of wisdom has a good conversation. Plato and Aristotle, Socrates, these human reasoning people did not have a good conversation to back up their wisdom. They could impart great philosophical thoughts, but they didn't live a life that interacted with other people that showed a good conversation. So James is telling us that if we have this kind of humble wisdom, the fruit of it is a good conversation. Not only that, but it says, let him show out of a good conversation his works. A humble wisdom will produce works. Works that don't need to be broadcast around. I'm thankful as pastor of Bible Baptist Church that we have a lot of folks that do a lot of things. It takes a lot of things to have a church and to have ministries, outreaches, functions at the church. It takes a lot of people involved. And I'm thankful that we do these things without anybody having to have the priority. The Bible talks about, I forgot his name. Over there in 3 John, the fellow that likes to have the preeminence among you. And here's a fellow that had a servant's heart, but he didn't have a humble heart. He wanted to serve, but only if he could be acknowledged. Only if he could be recognized. Only if he could be publicly patted on the back so everybody could know what he was doing. The Bible says when we have this kind of humble wisdom, we have not only a good conversation, but we have works that don't need to be broadcast. We serve the Lord because we love Him, not because we need someone else to tell us about it. Because we need acknowledgement. Now, it's always good to acknowledge folks for the good things that they do. And there's where the balance is. The balance is in praising folks for the good things they do without overdoing it. Solomon talked about flattering words and titles. Everybody likes a little bit of encouragement. No matter what it is that we do, when somebody appreciates it, we appreciate that. So there's nothing wrong with giving a compliment to those that are working hard. But if we need the compliments to keep doing what we're doing, that's not humble wisdom. That's what James is talking about here. A good conversation with his works, and it says with meekness. Three things involved in this humble wisdom is a good conversation, works, and meekness. I'll say this, and it's kind of a cliche. Meekness is not weakness. Just because someone is meek does not mean they're weak. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, came meek and lowly. All right? Jesus was meek, was he not? The Bible says he was meek. I dare say if you'd have gone into the temple that day in John chapter 2 when he walked in and started turning over the tables of the buyers and the sellers and making a whip out of the glass and the things that were there and driving them out of the temple and saying, make not my Father's house a den of merchandise, I think they would have said, he's not meek. But he was. Meekness is not weakness. Moses, the Bible tells us, was meek. But he sure wasn't weak. He went and put his bony finger in Pharaoh's face and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. He led them through across the Red Sea. He led them through the wilderness. He dealt with those complaining, murmuring Jews going through the wilderness 10 times over. Would to God we were back in Egypt. He dealt with all that. He wasn't weak, but he was meek. Well, what does it mean to be meek? It means without offense. Without offense. You can be strong in your convictions and love God and serve God and do what you need to do without being offensive toward other people. It means not being contentious. Not being contentious. That's what meekness is. And a humble wisdom will show forth in the life of the person that has it. It'll show forth by a good conversation. It'll show forth by their works that they do. And it'll show forth by their meekness of spirit. This world does not appreciate meekness. They want everything loud. They want anything contentious. They want to argue and fight, and he who yells the loudest wins. That's the system of the world today. But the servant of God should not strive, the Bible says, but is to be meek. So the matter of wisdom, we see the fruit of humble wisdom in verse number 13. That's good fruit, is it not? A good conversation, works, and meekness. Well, in verse 14, now to verse 16, we see the fruit of human wisdom. Notice verse 14 says, but. You know what the word but is? It is a contrast. All right, here's humble wisdom, a good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom, but. Now we're looking at a different kind of wisdom, not humble wisdom, but human wisdom. We go from the positive to the negative. And that's all indicated in that first word of verse 14. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. There were three fruits to humble wisdom. There are four fruits to human wisdom. We're going to list them on our note page tonight. But you know that if humble wisdom produced good fruit, human wisdom is going to produce bad fruit. Human wisdom is not going to produce good fruit. Don't strive for human wisdom. Strive for humble wisdom. Human wisdom. What is human wisdom? Human wisdom is philosophy. Look, if you would, take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Did you know the word philosophy is in the Bible? It's only in there once. And I think God only has to say it once to give us an idea of what He thinks about philosophy. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6, Paul talks about walking in the Lord. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then he says in verse 8, beware. Alright, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's the only time in the Bible the word philosophy appears, and it's negative. It's bad. Human philosophy is not a good thing. We always need to get our wisdom from God. We need to get our sage counsel, our advice from the Lord, not from human philosophy. So the signs of this bad wisdom in verse number 14. But if you have bitter envyings, that's number one in our notes, a bitter spirit. If you have bitter envyings, a bitter spirit. Contrast that with what we saw with a humble wisdom. The person that's willing to serve God and do whatever they do without accolades, without notice, without having to be recognized. But verse 15, the signs of this wisdom, verse 14, that's number one, the signs of this wisdom are, letter A bitter spirit. Chuck? Pardon? Number one was the signs of this wisdom. I get ahead of myself. I'm not looking at the outline. I'm just going. The signs of this wisdom, just as the signs of humble wisdom were good conversation works in meekness, here there's negative signs, and the first one is a bitter spirit. Have you ever met somebody with a bitter spirit? Have you ever noticed that a bitter spirit is contagious? It makes the people around them sour. Might not make them bitter, but it makes them not want to be around the person that's got the bitter spirit. A bitter spirit is a very sad and disappointing thing. It's bad fruit. Catherine must be downstairs. She came up a couple Sundays or Wednesdays ago. They must have given the kids banana splits or something downstairs. She came up with a banana. And she was eating that banana, enjoyed it till she got to the middle, and there was a little brown spot just about that big. And that was the end of the banana for her. She wasn't about to eat any more of it. Her dad tried to cut that little piece out. No, she wouldn't have anything to do with that banana. There was a bad spot in it. Nobody likes bad fruit. Well, a bitter spirit is bad fruit. There's a lot of people walking around with bad fruit in them. A bitter spirit. What does that come from? That comes from human wisdom. From human philosophy. So there's a bitter spirit. Then it says in verse 14, if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts. Strife. We'll use a big word, belligerent. When you have a belligerent spirit. Strife in your hearts. I'll help you spell that. I looked it up. B-E-L-L. Bell. I-G-E-R-E-N-T. Bell, I-G-E-R-E-N-T, a belligerent. We know what the word means, to be belligerent. It means to be opposed to refuse to surrender, to refuse to go around. And the Bible says if you have strife in your hearts, one of the greatest church killers, someone with a bitter spirit and strife in their heart, when you see those things coming upon you, the best thing you can do is get down on your knees before God and say, God, take that away from me. That's a result of human. You know what that is? That's watching Dr. Phil all day long. Or watching whatever those shows are on the TV where they're arguing and contentious. And they purposely bring on two people that have something against each other. And everybody sits around and watches that mess. Well, you're going to come around bitter. You're going to cheer for one or the other. You're going to come out bitter. You're going to have a belligerent spirit. And that's what Paul is talking, or James. Whoever I say it is, it's James, all right? It's what James is talking about, a belligerent spirit. Then he says in verse 15, glory not. The third fruit of human wisdom is a boastful spirit. Glory not. If you have to let other people know the good things you've done, that's a sign of insecurity. Now, there's nothing wrong with having insecurity. Some people have that, but it's something that needs to be dealt with because it's not a good thing to carry around. If we have to let others know the good things we've accomplished or the good things we've done, that's a spiritual problem. That's a boastful spirit. And that can come into a faithful child of God just as well as anyone else. We've got to be careful of that. That comes from human wisdom, a boastful spirit. And then finally it says, and lie not against the truth. A blind spirit. Lie not against the truth. Signs of this human wisdom, a bitter spirit, a belligerent spirit, a boastful spirit, a blind spirit, lying against the truth. Well, I don't care what's right. I don't care what they say. This is what I'm going to do. That belligerent, boastful, blind spirit. So those are the signs of this wisdom in verse 14. In verse 15, number 2, we have the source. The source of this wisdom. Where does that come from? That human wisdom, that human reasoning that produces those four bad fruits, those four bad spirits. Where does it come from? Well, this wisdom, the Bible says, descendeth not from above. A bitter spirit doesn't come from God. A belligerent spirit does not come from God. A boastful spirit, a blind spirit, those don't come from God. So if someone has those things, where do they come from? Well, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly. All right? Small letter A. It's secular. This wisdom is earthly. When the Bible says something that is earthly, it's not positive. It's not good. Earthly is opposed to heavenly. And everything you and I desire to be ought to be earthly or heavenly, not earthly. Our conversation, heavenly, honoring God, not earthly. Our lifestyle, heavenly, not earthly. So the Bible says that this wisdom that produces those four bitter fruits descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. That word starts with an S, so that makes it easy. It is sensual. What does the word sensual mean? It means it appeals to the senses. All right, that's where these four spirits come from. They appeal to the senses. If it doesn't make me happy, then I'm bitter. If I want to brag, then I'm boastful. It appeals to the senses. That's what sensual means. The old philosophy that's been expressed for years and years, I don't know where this went back to, but the old expression came out and it was like, they said it this way, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good to get drunk, to use drugs, if it feels good to beat on someone else, that philosophy says, do it. That's sensual. That's pleasing the body, pleasing the flesh. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, the last word, devilish. It is satanic. It is satanic. Can there be wisdom that is devilish? Can there be wisdom that is satanic? Yeah, there sure can. There can be this kind of human reasoning. Look back, if you would, keep your place in James, but look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's talk about this wisdom that is devilish. It cometh not down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There are some very wise people in the world that can use their wisdom for ungodly purposes. Where do they get that wisdom? Where do they get that source? They don't have to sell themselves to the devil to get that wisdom. He's already got them. If you're not a child of God, if you're not saved, Jesus said, you're a child of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. An unconverted person belongs to the devil. And Jesus said, the lust of your father, the devil, ye will do. Well, what are those lusts? Look here in Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 5. Ezekiel says, verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver under thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Here's one who by his wisdom has increased wealth. But who is he? Well, verse 6. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. He says in verse 8, they shall bring thee down to the pit. This is not a good person that's got this great wisdom and understanding. He's one that boasts himself of being equal to God, but whose destiny is to be brought down to the sides of the pit. Does that ring a familiar tone? Let me go on. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, that kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. There was only three people in the garden. Adam, and he's long dead. Eve, and she's long gone. And the serpent. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Verse 14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. You know who Ezekiel 28 is about? It's about Satan. It's about the devil. And yet the word wisdom is used. Wiser in verse 3. Wisdom in verse 4. Wisdom in verse 5. Wisdom in verse 7. The devil has wisdom. And he gives it to whomsoever he will. But that's not humble wisdom. That's human wisdom. And it ascendeth not. It descendeth not from God, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. All right, number 3 then, verse 16, the sequence of this wisdom. The sequence. You know what the sequence is? The order. And notice the order in verse 16 of James 3. For where envying and strife is, and we already read about that in verse 14, envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. There's the sequence. Strife, or envying, strife, confusion, and every evil work. You know what the problem is with the fruit of human wisdom? It affects others. Someone that has these things affects people around them. You know the best thing you can do when you spot somebody that's got human wisdom? Avoid them. Stay away from them. When their wisdom is used with bitter envying and strife and glorying and striving against the truth, avoid those kind of people. Somebody says, well, I just don't want them. I don't want them to be bad at me. I don't want them to not like me. I want to get along with them. No, get away from them. They'll just destroy you as well as they've destroyed themselves. So we've seen in James chapter 3, we've seen human wisdom. We've seen, what else have we seen? Humble wisdom. Now in verse 17 and 18, we see heavenly wisdom. Lastly, we see heavenly wisdom. Verse 17, here's that word again, but. But the wisdom that is from above, shouldn't that be the wisdom we desire? Shouldn't be that the wisdom we covet? The wisdom that is from above. That's the fruit of heavenly wisdom. In verse 17, number one, we see the order of the fruit. The order of it. It says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first, here's the order, first, pure. You know what pure means. It means clean. Wholesome. That's what heavenly wisdom is. It's pure. Then, peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. When someone is hard to talk down. When someone is obstinate to listening to reason. They have human wisdom, not heavenly wisdom. Oh, they might be right. But they're so cocky and sure of themselves in their rightness. They can't be reasoned with. Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:14, come now and let us reason together. But those that can't be entreated are unreasonable. It says they are full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, not favoring one over another, and without hypocrisy. Here's the order of these fruits. Notice there are seven of those. The fruits of the others, three and four. But the fruits of heavenly wisdom equals the fruits of both of those. Seven. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. If you and I have heavenly wisdom, those seven things will be manifest in our life. Now don't look at those seven things and go after those. Go after the heavenly wisdom, and those things will follow it. Don't go after the symptom, the seven things. Go after the source, the order of the fruit. And then verse 18, the outcome. Lastly, the outcome of the fruit. The result of heavenly wisdom is the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Remember what we said about the result of human wisdom, secular, sensual, satanic? Someone that has it affects others. That negative vibe, as the world would call it, passes off to other people. When they have bitter envyings and strife in their hearts, it passes off to others. Well, so does pureness and being peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The blessing of heavenly wisdom spreads from the possessor to other people. You and I need to set our goal of having that heavenly wisdom. That's what James is talking about. Human wisdom is based on reasoning. Heavenly wisdom is based on revelation. And that revelation is right here. If any man lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask of God who giveth liberally. How do you get your wisdom? Oh, I'm going to go to the university and I'm going to hit the books and I'm going to study and I'm going to learn. You'll get human reasoning that way. And it's not necessarily bad. An education is a good thing. But it doesn't give heavenly wisdom. And it's heavenly wisdom that's going to benefit us and in turn benefit others. James addresses this matter of wisdom in verse 13 down to verse number 18. May we be challenged to desire to have that humble and heavenly wisdom over the human wisdom. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.